Have you ever had a circumstance or a situation in your life and you diligently sought the Lord in prayer over it, and maybe you just weren't getting the answer? Maybe it just felt like God was silent along the way, almost to the point where you actually got a little concerned or uptight about the fact that you were wondering if God was listening, or even worse, you were wondering whether or not He even cared about your situation. Well, I'm here today to tell you that He does care about your situation, and we're going to view another miracle of the Master out of Mark's Gospel in chapter 4. So grab your Bible, come on back, and we'll join together around God's Word. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church out of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. It's great to have you with us. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at yet another miracle of the Messiah. But today, we're going to gather to explore this very profound and also a very reassuring narrative of Jesus calming the storm, as we find recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Now, this passage not only demonstrates the authority of Christ over nature, but also challenges us to evaluate the depth of our faith in Him. Now, keep in mind the question that I ask you as we began our Bible study, and you're going to see, you know, how this passage right here can be so helpful in what we can glean and learn from it. But for right now, let's look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 35. That's Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, why are you so fearful? You know, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You today, we just ask for Your wisdom, Your insight. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would truly just speak to our hearts today as we take these moments to gather around Your Word. Lord, I pray that we can take the spiritual truths that we learn from Your Word today and truly make application to our lives. May we grow in Your grace. Lord, may our faith be strengthened. And Lord, may we learn today from Your Word lessons that will last throughout this whole lifetime that You give us. So, Father, again, I just simply ask as Your messenger at these moments that You would use me, that Your Word would go forth, and that the Holy Spirit may move in the hearts and the lives of the listeners today. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, so as we look at our passage today, yeah, I always say that one of the very important things that we need to understand is what is the historical context of what's taking place in the Word, specifically at the time of the event that we're reading about, okay? So the Gospel of Mark was written in the first century. Now, this is a time when many early Christians were facing persecution as well as uncertainty. Now, the Sea of Galilee, which is the setting of this particular passage, the Sea of Galilee is notorious for having these sudden as well as violent storms. These were storms that could just arise simply because of the location's unique geographical features around it. I don't know if you've ever seen a place like that. There have been some places I've been in my life before where it could be sunny one minute and literally just a fierce storm the next, just like that. Well, this was one of those places, okay? So for the disciples, we have to understand that a lot of these disciples were experienced fishermen. All right. This is something that they knew and understood. This was just part of what they had done before. Yet I have a feeling that this storm was rather unique in its own way. I have a feeling that this was a storm like they had never seen before. Although they realized that storms could blow up quickly, that they could be very fierce, I believe that this was probably the worst storm that they had ever seen. The evidence of that is by their action and reaction. They thought they were going to die in this particular boat, and we'll call your attention to that in just a moment. So, one of the things we need to understand about our passage today is that in the original Greek text, Jesus' command to the wind and the sea when he said, "Peace, be still," can also be translated as "be silent" or "be muzzled." All right, this expression is a forceful authority. In other words, it wasn't just okay. It was like, "Hey, peace, be still." In other words, it was a forcible command, the way that it's written or the way that it's translated from the original. So this is indicating that it's not just a desire for calm, but a demand for complete submission. And you got to remember who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to the storm. You know, I know there's been a lot of times I might have stood out and said, "Hey, look, storm, go away." Well, I promise it doesn't pay any attention to me. But when Jesus does it, the storm was immediately submissive to his command. You know, Jesus' rebuke is paralleled by his questioning of the disciples' faith, linking this natural calm to spiritual assurance, okay? So let's get to the main point. What are the things that we want to learn out of this particular text today, okay? The calming of the storm by Jesus serves as a very powerful demonstration of his divine authority over all of creation, including storms, and a call for faith that transcends fear. Now, a lot of us might sit back and we say, "Well, I get the part about Jesus having authority over all creation and being able to command that." But see, there was a second part of that, and this was a big lesson for the disciples that experienced it that particular day. This was a call for faith that even transcends fear. Now, we know that according to our text that these men that were in that boat, they were afraid. How do I know that? Because the text says that when they woke up Jesus, they basically ask him a question. We're going to come back to that question. But he said this. He said, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" So these men, seasoned fishermen, thought that they were going to die in this storm. So it wasn't that they got up and said, "Jesus, what can you do about it?" They didn't get up and say, "Jesus, could you calm this storm?" What they did is said, "Don't you care that we're going to die right here? You're over here just taking a nap, okay?" You know, now through his action and his words, Jesus revealed himself as a Lord that is worthy of trust, even amidst life's most turbulent circumstances. Now, I would be willing to say that if I ask each and every one of you, have there been some turbulent circumstances in your life? I am sure that you could point out at least one. Now, I know that's being very conservative. You could point out at least one, turbulent situation in your life. And prayerfully, it was one of those that you carried to the Master. Prayerfully, it was one that you not only carried to the Master, but you did so in faith, believing that God's will would be done and that he was going to answer your prayer. Now, you know, as evening descended, let's go back to our text. So as the evening kind of descended upon them, Jesus invited his disciples to journey across the Sea of Galilee, okay? Now, this time, you know, in this particular case, he is with them in the boat, okay? Their departure. They were leaving behind a multitude of people, because everywhere Jesus went, there was a multitude of people who gathered around to hear him teach the word, to see him, you know, heal folks. Whatever the reason was, there were literally thousands upon thousands of people who followed Jesus. Okay, so they're leaving behind this multitude, and it sets the scene for intimacy and trust. Yeah, yet all of a sudden, their situation quickly turns into a trial of faith as this fierce storm arises. I can just picture them, you know, getting into that boat as they begin to make their way across the Sea of Galilee. I think everything was probably fine. Maybe it was evening. Maybe there was still some daylight, and it almost seemed like it was going to be business as usual. We just jump in the boat, we go on over to the other side, you know, maybe even making plans. When we get to the other side, maybe we'll get us a meal, we'll figure out where we're going to bed down for the evening, maybe we'll have a few laughs with Jesus, whatever the case may be. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. It's probably that way in your circumstances as well. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it hits. You know, just like this storm hit, this fierce storm arose. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. Jesus seems unconcerned. Did you get that qualifier? Seems unconcerned. You know, this is a reflection of his divine peace and trust in God the Father. You know, Jesus is not worried about it. Now, I have said before, and I'm going to say it again, and even through the Bible studies, you have heard me say this before. If there's one person in this world who is not having a Malox moment over your issue, it is God Almighty. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It just means that everything, every circumstance, every situation is within his capacity to be able to change or answer. And along the way, he can fulfill you with peace. But you've got to trust him. See, too many times we want to do things our way rather than God's way. You know, I have learned in my lifetime that particularly with circumstances and situations, 100% of the time, the way that I think it should be done is never the way that God thinks that it should be done. Now, I laugh about that, but it's very, very critical that we follow his footsteps, that we go in his direction, okay? So when the disciples were overwhelmed by fear, they're afraid. Now, once again, I want to call your attention to the fact that these were seasoned fishermen. I am sure that at least some of them had ridden out a storm or two in their lives just as part of what they did for a living previously. You know, I'm sitting there thinking at this particular point, this to me highlights how overpowering this storm was. Because, you know, maybe some of them in the boat had never seen that before, but you would think that some of the seasoned fishermen would say something like, oh, it's going to be okay. This is only going to last for a little while, and then it's going to pass by. This is one of those storms that we get out here on the Sea of Galilee. It's all going to be cool. Just sit tight, and in just a little while, everything will be good. Now, if I was in that boat, and I were to hear something like that from a seasoned fisherman, I would have some belief in it. I might take some ease in knowing that, hey, this guy's done this before. He knows what's taking place, so I'm going to trust what it is that he has to say. But essentially, that wasn't what happened. All of them, even the seasoned fishermen, were kind of freaking out over this particular storm and what's going on. I always like to share this story. I said, you know what, if I'm on an airplane, and I do better now. It's still not necessarily my favorite thing to do when it comes down to flying, particularly if it's choppy and bumpy. And man, I've been on some wild rides in my particular life. And, you know, there have been times when that thing's bouncing around and I've gotten a little bit concerned. And yet, you know what, all of a sudden I look up there and I see the flight attendants or, you know, maybe they're still moving around and they don't seem like they have any fear or anything. And even though we're hitting these bumps, and then the pilot comes on and he just has this calm in his voice. And he's like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, hey, just want to ask you to please remain seated with the fasten seatbelt signs on. Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. We're hitting a little bit of turbulence here as we start our descent into whatever the location. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this guy's not freaking out about it. And he's the one who's in charge. He knows how this airplane is supposed to handle, and he seems perfectly calm. So as long as he's calm and feels like everything is in control, then I should be calm and in control as well. Now, if he jumped up there and ran out of the cockpit and came running down the aisle screaming, we're all going to die, get into crash position, at this particular point, I think I'm going to be a little bit concerned. Now, notice what the demeanor of Jesus, as you think about that illustration I just gave you, think about the demeanor of Jesus in the boat. What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. In the middle of this storm, he's catching him a cat nap. You know, he's been preaching and teaching. He's probably pretty tired. And all of the disciples in the boat, they're freaking out, all right? So the disciples are overwhelmed by fear, and they go and wake Jesus up with cries of desperation. And what was the cry of desperation? Here's what it was, according to the scripture. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing. See, they exposed their struggle with faith at that particular point. How many times in your prayers have you gone to Jesus in the middle of a crisis or in the middle of a situation, and maybe you have felt like Jesus just didn't care? Maybe you weren't hearing from him simply because maybe the timing wasn't right or whatever the case, but yet what's happened is we're like, Jesus, don't you care about the situation? I have been praying for days about this. I have been praying for however long, and you don't seem to care because you're not doing anything. Just like these disciples, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, when you have that sort of attitude, that exposes your struggle with faith. You see, Jesus' response is both action as well as instruction. By rebuking the wind and commanding stillness, first of all, he demonstrates his majesty over nature. Listen, even nature responds to the voice of the master. He doesn't have to reach out and touch anything. He doesn't have to wave anything. All he has to do is speak a word, and even nature obeys his command. All right? His subsequent rebuke to the disciples, he said this. He said, "Why are you so fearful?" Listen, picture yourself being in that boat. He's like, "Well, why? What are you so afraid of?" And you're sitting there hanging on to the boat, and it's pitching and rocking. And I think at that particular point, I might have said, "Well, look around you. I mean, look, we're getting ready to die in this storm. Why am I so fearful? Look at the circumstance I'm in." You know. But Jesus asked the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? You know, how is it that you have no faith?" Ooh. Man, that one stings sometimes. When we hear that in our lives, and listen, by the way, the Lord will say the same thing to you and I that he says to his disciples. When you are freaking out in the middle of your circumstance and you are scared to death, and the Lord would say to you, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You know, and what that does, that invites, and I'm going to use a big word here, that invites introspection, okay? You see, their fear stems not from the storm's intensity, but from their lack of understanding and trust in Jesus' identity and in his power. And folks, here's the thing. It is the same today with you and I as it was with those disciples back then. You know, what is your fear coming from? Is it coming? It's not coming from the intensity of the storm in your life, but it is coming from the lack of understanding and trust in Jesus' identity as well as his power in your life, okay? See, this passage calls us, to examine our faith. You know, when you examine your faith, how strong are you in the midst of your faith, okay? In the midst of life's storms, are we quick to question God's care? Or do we rest in the assurance of his presence and his power in our lives as well as in the midst of the circumstance or the situation that we are going through at that particular time? Yeah, see, in our world that is riddled with uncertainty and fear, Jesus' words challenge us to deepen our faith and to trust in him. You know what? You may not know the answer. Yeah, I have found in my life that the majority of the time, I do not know the answer. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. And yes, I am talking about in situations that seem so critical, in situations that want to just overwhelm myself or my family or anybody else, major situations. And you know, we find ourselves trying to work the situation out on our own or work the problem out on our own. You know, I love another one of the accounts in the Bible when Jesus wasn't in the boat with his disciples, another storm came up. I like what it said. It says that the disciples got out there and they got on the rows and they were rowing as hard as they could. They were trying to get in smoother, calmer waters. How many times in the middle of our circumstances and situations are we trying to row the boat to a calmer, smoother place when what we need to be doing is trusting God along the way? Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. I'm not saying that you just sit down and do nothing in the midst of your situation. But what I am telling you to do is seek the counsel of God in your life and trust him. Trust him that he is going to see you through your circumstance or your situation. It may not be the way you want him to see you through, But I promise you, he's going to see you through in a way which is best for you, which is best for your future, and what is best to honor and glorify him. Okay? So the account of Jesus calming the storm in our passage and in our text today, it's more than a miracle. It's a testament to his divinity and a call for undivided faith. You know, I've for so many years in my ministry, when I think about faith, I think about that verse of scripture, that passage that says, "Yeah, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, faith that much faith, you could say to this mountain and be moved, and it would go away." And to me, that is a huge reflection upon the lack of faith that we often have. I don't know if you've seen a mustard seed, but if you look at the end of a ballpoint pen, that's about the size of a grain of mustard seed. And yet the Lord says, faith that much faith, you could say to this mountain, be moved, and it would be gone. Now, don't take that in a wrong manner. I've often said this. It's not that God's sitting back saying that you've got some sort of magical powers that you have to be able to do things that you want to do or do things for yourself. Those are key words. You know, the question is, you know, when you're asking for that mountain to be moved, is it in the best interest of our Heavenly Father? Is it something that will magnify him and honor him and glorify him? Or is it just something that we are praying selfishly along the way? Let me carry you back for just a moment. That when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said this. He said, you should pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you understand that part? In other words, we need to be praying that God's will be done here on earth as he has it prescribed in heaven. What is going to be best? What is going to be right? And often we don't have that kind of mind. We have to sit back and say, Lord, I want your will to be accomplished. I'm not sure what your will is, but instead what we do is we try to pursue our own ideas. We try to pursue our own rowing of the boat, as it were. We try to pursue getting out of the storm in a man-made way, and yet what we do is, you know what, here's the thing. Sometimes we accomplish it. Sometimes we get out of the storm on our own. The problem is, too often when we do that, we miss what it is that God wanted us to learn in the midst of the storm, okay? So remember this, in the account of Jesus calming the storm in our passage today, it is more than simply a miracle. It is truly a testament to his divinity, and it is a call for undivided faith. In every situation, you know, we seek to deepen our understanding of who Jesus is, the one whom, as our text says, the one whom even the wind and the seas obey him. Think about that for just a minute. I mean, these were guys that had been with Jesus. These are guys who had watched him make the lame to walk. They had watched him, you know, heal the blind and the deaf. And to me, that's a big thing right there. But when they saw him stand up in the boat in the midst of the worst storm they had ever been in their life, and he said to the water, "Peace be still." And all of a sudden, I am picturing the image of the water being as flat as a sheet of glass. You know, I mean, it went from a ravenous storm to complete calm just like that in the snap of a finger. And even seeing what Jesus had done in the past, this particular miracle was something that was devastating. I'm going to use that word, devastating, even to the disciples that witnessed it. Remember what it is that they said, you know, when they said, you know, even the wind and the seas obey him. I don't know, maybe they were sitting back thinking, well, he can do all this stuff, but wow, I mean, he even has control over all of nature. When a storm kicks up, he can tell it to shoo and it goes away. Man, how powerful is our Lord? Now, I do want to remind you of this as well. You know, the God that we serve today is the same God from back in the days of the crossing of the sea, right? The same one who can calm the seas is the same one that you and I serve today. He did it back then. He can do it today. Are we going to trust God to get us through the storms in our lives? And are we going to allow our faith to help us to be steady and assured as we go through the storms in life? I hope and pray that you will be able to say that. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at here this week as far as our text and what we're going to be looking at next week. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you that God is going to do some incredible things in your life today as we exercise what we've learned in the scripture today. So your scripture reading for this week, I want you to spend some time in Mark's Gospel chapter 5. And next week, we're going to look at the 13th miracle. Now, when I say 13th, I'm talking about in our series on the miracles. The 13th miracle of the healing of the Gadarene demoniac out of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So be studied up on that as we take the time to come back together next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. And like I say, as always, I pray if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask them. You can put them in the context of the website there, or just do it. Send us a message if you would by direct message through the social media site. That would be outstanding. Or you can go to our website and send me an email. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. So for right now, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close our time today. Father, as we come to you now, we want to thank you for the reassurance that comes through your word. Lord, may the peace that Jesus demonstrated in the storm reside in our own hearts. Lord, I pray that you will grant us the courage to trust him through every trial, through every circumstance, and through every situation. And Lord, as we face the challenges of this life, may our faith grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And Lord, may we be grounded in the knowledge of Christ's authority, that even the wind and the waves obey him. So Lord, we do ask this prayer in the precious name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey folks, I want to thank you for spending some time with us around God's Word on the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. I want to invite you to come and join us on Sundays. Our service time is at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. We also do have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school. We have some small groups that you could be a part of that we might fulfill the Great Commission where the Lord tells us to go and make disciples. I hope and pray I'll see you Sunday. I pray God gives you a fantastic week and that you've learned something you can apply in your life. May your faith be stretched and may you trust him, especially if you're going through some tough times. God bless. Have a great week.